Tonight we're going to talk about the purpose of his calling. What did God have in mind by calling you and me? What a thought, huh? What did he have in mind? What was the purpose of his calling? Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll pick it up. Oh, start in verse 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a what? A holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Let me read you verse 9 from the Working Translation. It's talking about God who saved or delivered us and called us with a holy, in brackets, sanctified, into brackets, a sanctified calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. Who called us? The Holy One. As a matter of fact, he's the most holy God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created us. He's the God of the heavens and the earth. He's the most high God. He's Jehovah. He's El Shaddai. That God called us with a holy calling. He was the king of Israel in the Old Testament. And he called us with a holy calling, not according to what? Our works. So many believers, Christians, think that they have to work themselves into the presence of God. We don't. The work's been done. In Greg's manifestation, we're at rest. The work has been done. Not according to our works, but according to what? His own purpose and grace, his divine favor towards us, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. What a statement. God's purpose was with respect to what his son Jesus Christ was to accomplish for everyone, for all of mankind. And God's calling of mankind was according to that purpose. He called us in Christ Jesus. And it was Christ Jesus that did all the work to save us. Boy, we got a royal calling. He called us with a holy calling, the most holy God. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. The word called comes from the Greek word kaleo, K-A-L-E, long O. And it has two basic meanings. One is to invite, to call so as to invite, or with the stronger sense, to summons you. You know, if you go to court, you get a summons. If you go to a party, you probably get an invitation. We got an invitation. And the second meaning is with the sense to name or to call by name. And these will both come up tonight. But God has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. Isn't that beautiful? Look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we read in verse 10. Well, pick it up. The way the King James reads is awkward. Verse 9, let's see, verse 8. See the words, wherein he hath abounded toward us? Okay, put a period after that. And then a new verse begins, with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he, what? Hath purposed in himself, that in the administration of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom, speaking of the Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? The purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He works everything after the counsel of his own will, after his own deliberation. He determines it. What a beautiful verse. Go back to verse 10. I'm going to read it to you from the Working Translation. So, well, it says in verse 9, which he himself purposed in him, and the him refers to Christ, so that in the administration of the fullness of times he might bring all things together under one head in the Christ, that is, the things in heaven and the things upon the earth in him, the Christ. In him, verse 11, the Christ, we were also chosen, which was determined beforehand in accordance with the purpose of him who works all things according to the deliberation of his own will. In the King James, it says we obtained an inheritance. The Greek word is klero, K-L-E-R-O-O, and the second O is long. And it means to choose by lot. The verb occurs here in the passive voice, we were chosen. This mention of being chosen reaffirms what was said in verses 4 and 5, the footnote says. He chose us in the Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he determined beforehand for us to have sonship to himself through Jesus Christ in accordance with the good pleasure of his will. That's what God had in mind when he called us. That was his purpose. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. Let's see, where does the sentence begin? Verse 8, I suppose. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all people regarding what is the administration, or the says fellowship in the King James. The word fellowship in the text is oikonomia, O-I-K-O-N-O-M-I-A, which is the word for administration. To enlighten all people regarding what is the administration of the mystery, from which the beginning of the world hath been hidden God who created all things. Scratch the words, by Jesus Christ. They don't appear in the critical Greek text. To the intent, now listen to this, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in whom? Christ Jesus, our Lord. I told you that his purpose was with respect to what his Son, Jesus Christ, was to accomplish. And God's calling of mankind was according to that purpose. He determined this. This was his purpose. And by the church, I'll read it to you from the Working Translation, verse 9, and to enlighten all people regarding what is the administration of the mystery, which has been hidden from the ages in God who created all things. Verse 10, so that through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God could now be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. Verse 11, in accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word purposed is poeo, P-O-I-E, long O. It means to do or to make, and it's used by idiom here with the sense to carry out, to perform, or to accomplish. I'll read you verse 11 one more time. In accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he, God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our calling was his invitation to us in Christ Jesus, which was given to us before the time of the ages. He invited us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And that purpose of the ages is he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's just tremendous. Go to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Oh, let's pick it up in verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the what? The called of Jesus Christ. Now the words of Jesus Christ are part of a genitive of the genitive case, which is a genitive of relation here. So the phrase can be rendered the called in Jesus Christ. Those who have believed regarding Jesus Christ are referred to here in verse 6 as the called in Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Working Translation, verse 7, to all who are beloved of God, comma, the called, comma, holy, bracket, sanctified, end of bracket, holy ones in Rome, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would have ever dreamt that the most holy God, the Most High God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, would address us as beloved of God, the called holy ones in Rome. It's so far beyond man's comprehension. And he called us according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. from Genesis 3:15 on, he determined what Jesus Christ would accomplish for mankind. And that calling, which he has given mankind, was according to that purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus. And it's not only for today. It's throughout the ages to come, eternity. It's just too big to embrace. The purpose of the ages which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And his purpose was to head up all things in Christ, in heaven and in earth. And he determined that from the time that he called us, and it was by his own purpose and his own counsel. Look at Romans chapter 8. You know I got to get to it, right? Romans 8. Oh, look at verse 28. Let me find it here. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the what? The called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The Nestle-Aland Greek text reads of that verse, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, comma, who are called according to his purpose. It's a beautiful translation. It doesn't stop there. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And the word predestinate is pro, P-R-O-O-R-I-Z, long O, pro or rezo. And it means to mark out the boundaries ahead of time, to decide or determine beforehand. And what God determined beforehand was that the called ones who love God were to be conformed to the image of his son and thus his son's brothers. Look at 29. Read it. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a family we're a part of. This was God's purpose. Remember we read last week in Ephesians that we're now members of God's household. Think of that. We're in the royal household of God. And he's given us quite an invitation to enter his presence as holy and without blame. The most holy God, the Creator, the God of the heavens and the earth, the Most High God, Jehovah El Shaddai, he called us according to his own purpose. And that purpose involves having brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, being the first begotten. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate or determine things beforehand, he called also. He also called. And whom he called, them he also what? He justified. And them he also what? He glorified. It wasn't according to our works. He did these things according to his own purpose and divine favor. And it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the times of Genesis 3:15 came into effect and he set the ages. Wow. Verse 31. Well, what do you say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who cares? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? All things. How will he not also freely give us all things with his son? Now you chew on that for a while. All things. All things in the new birth. All things in the inheritance. All things that are coming in the new heavens and new earth. All things. And he freely gives them to us with his son. Wow. What did God have in mind when he called us? It just blows your brains right out of your ears, doesn't it? His he called us according to his purpose, which was be to conform to the image of his son, to justify us, to glorify us, and freely give all things to us with Christ. Wow. Look at 2 Peter. James, Peter, 2 Peter. We're going to cover a lot of verses tonight, but this isn't all of them. Many more verses about this calling than we have time to cover tonight. But 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness is a true, vital, spiritual relationship between you and God. And how do we get this? Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. The text reads, that called us by his own glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Think of that. The most holy God, by the gift of Holy Spirit, brought us into his category as his kids. And now he considers us partakers of the divine nature. You see, we need to start looking at ourselves more according to how God sees us and not how we see our flesh. We need to retrain our minds, reprogram the computer up there. This is what he had in mind when he called you. What a God we have. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. He gave us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. His nature. He became our Father. We became his kids. Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Great chapter. Let's pick it up in verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto what? Glory. What did he have in mind when he called us? He prepared us for glory. Verse 24. Even us, whom he hath what? Called, not of the Judeans only, but also of the Gentiles. And he saith also in Hosea, Osi is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not what? Beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. Wow. He gave us a divine nature. He called us with a holy calling, a holy royal calling, as the king over all. Had nothing to do with our works or our goodness, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. Wow, the purpose of his calling. It's just tremendous. Look at Colossians. In light of him calling Jews and Gentiles, look at Colossians. The Gentiles at one time weren't the people of God. We were far off, man. We were out there somewhere. We were in the weeds. Now we're in tall cotton. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in what? One body. And be ye thankful. We were called in one body, Jews and Gentiles, and we were called to peace. What a wonderful calling. Yeah, don't have time to cover all this. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, you really have to pick up the context to get the point to verse 9. Pick it up in verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called saints is holy ones, sanctified ones, those set apart from the common lot of people by that Holy Spirit. Called holy ones or saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by or in Jesus Christ. We've covered every other verses about that. That in everything you're enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you when you spoke in tongues. That witness of Christ was confirmed in you, and you knew that you knew that you knew that you were a son of God in heaven bound. Verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. You've got the same gift I've got. I've got the same gift you've got, the gift of Holy Spirit, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of that calling. It's not just in this life. It's the whole ball of wax. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, verse 8. He will confirm you unto the end. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear his coming. We will be blameless before him. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were what? Called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this word fellowship, it can be translated partaking, sharing, participation, communion, and it has the idea of partnership. We've been called unto the partnership, the communion, the full sharing with his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, he freely gives us all things with him. and he called us into this sharing relationship. I like partnership. That's what the root word connotes, is a partnership. You see, it's all those things from verse 1 to verse 9 that are included in that relationship. All of them. From the hope to be enriched by his word, to the witness of Christ in us, which is that speaking in tongues, to the gift of Holy Spirit. It's all of us. It's the blamelessness. It's the keeping of us until his son returns. It's all of it. That's the partnership. It's beautiful. Go to 1 John. First John, chapter 3. And here we have the second usage, the second definition of that word, calling. It says, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be what? Called the sons of God. What did he name us? The sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. That's why we didn't fit in. But now we fit into the household of God. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the what? The sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, Christ. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, in Christ, purifies himself even as he is pure. Wow. What good is it to hold that hope in our minds? It purifies us, even as he is pure. We are called with the sense to call by name. And he called us sons of God. Boy, that's a lot of love. Let me show you a contrast of this in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but some trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They try to put people under the covenant of works of the Old Testament instead of the grace that of God's purpose of that he gave us in Christ Jesus before the time of the ages. Look in look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. It says, this persuasion comes not of him that called you. What persuasion? To try to get them back under the works of the law. This persuasion comes not of him that called you. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto what? Liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, the adversary always tries to get you back under the covenant of works. Isn't it queer that he always tries to get you under the truth of another administration, but never in the truth of the present administration? When they were under the law, they didn't keep the law. But here we are under grace and they want to push the law. Thank God for his purpose, for his calling. Wasn't according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace in Christ Jesus. And he called us sons of God. Look in Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God our Father wants us to know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, the holy ones. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. The word vocation is calling. Walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. And then he expounds on that. I'll come back to it later. Look at Philippians chapter 3. To walk worthy of the calling in which we were called. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you look down in verse 20, you see part of that. For our conversation, the word conversation is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Part of that calling is we're going to be glorified like Christ and have bodies like his. Look at 1 Thessalonians. I got so excited in working this word, this calling, because the hope comes up or is associated with so many of them. This is what God had in mind. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath what? Called you. Called you unto what? His kingdom and his glory. That's what he had in mind. He called us to his kingdom and his glory. Look back over at Colossians. This has two parts to it. You've got the new birth part and you've got the harvest part. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Made us meet. He made us competent for a part in the share of the inheritance of the saints, the holy ones in the light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. And several of you have been delivered this week. That's right. Not only have we been given eternal life, but we've been delivered, transferred with respect to removing us from the position or status we had in the power of darkness to the position or status we now have in the kingdom of God as beloved sons of God. When Christ returns, go down to verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's part of the calling, and delivered from the power of darkness is part of the calling, and being translated into God's kingdom of his beloved Son is part of it, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. It's all a part of that calling. He had it all in mind. What we have today is only in part. And it's unbelievable. Sometimes today, when we're walking, we get so hot we can't stand it spiritually. Just imagine what eternity is going to be like to live in his presence without a sin, of the presence of sin, without an adversary, with only God and his Son and his beloved children there. Oh, such joy it's going to be. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. What did God have in mind when he called us? Verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. To what end? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he have in mind? He had us acquiring the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in mind. It just blows your brains right out your ears, doesn't it? At times we just fail to see the big picture. We don't perceive things as God perceives them. We need to retrain ourselves. We need to learn to look at things like he looks at things. He had eternity in mind when he called us in Christ Jesus. That's right. The purpose of the ages that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Remember in Ephesians 3? Look at Ephesians 2. What did he have in mind when he called us? Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, why don't we believe it? How many times has he got to say it? Oh, how could we think less of ourselves than what he says over and over and over again? Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know what it says in John 17? It says he loves us like he loves Jesus Christ. Well, it doesn't get any better than that. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ, made us alive spiritually together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And he's raised us up, how? Together, verse 6. And made us do what? Sit together in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show or display or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's what he had in mind. The ages to come. And he's going to what? He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness. What kind of kindness? The kindness a father has for their child. And he's going to show it in Christ Jesus. How wonderful a calling we have. There's one hope of his calling. Take a look at chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Read it to you earlier in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, to guard the unity of the Spirit that is from the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. There is one body. How many? One body. Oh, no. Well, I go to this fellowship. No, there is one body. And there's what? One Spirit, one gift of Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One hope. One hope. Not many hopes. One hope. And that hope is in Christ Jesus when he returns. It has different phases to it, but there's only one hope. One hope of his calling. So we ought to walk worthy of the calling in which he called us. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. He's speaking about the tabernacle. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, that's the holy place, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second, that's the holiest of all. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all, that's that second tabernacle, the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, Old Testament times, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and many washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. That's referring to the Reformation of the covenants being addressed in this passage here. The Old Covenant versus the New. Verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to what? To come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, you know, the earthly tabernacle, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works to serve the living God. And we have newness of life. We can serve in newness of the Spirit. We have the divine nature. We've got the gift of Holy Spirit. Verse 15, and for this cause, he, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were made under the first covenant, they which are what? Called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What a truth. Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns, the copies of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, that earthly tabernacle, it, which was only a figure of the true, but he entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. For who? For us. It was done on our behalf. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the age, is the text, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die and judgment afterwards, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And I'm going to give you a better translation here. He will appear the second time without being offered to bear sin to those who are awaiting him for salvation. He will appear the second time without being offered to bear sin to those who are awaiting him for salvation. That's right. And look at 10:23. Let us hold fast, the text reads, the confession the confession of the hope. The word faith is elpis. It's the word for hope. Let us hold fast the confession of the hope without wavering. Why? For he's faithful that promised. He's coming. And that's what he had in mind. Not only would Christ come the first time and be the payment for sin, he'd come the second time and we would acquire the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God had in mind when he called you. Bless your heart. Look at chapter 11. Look at when he called Abraham. 11:8. By faith, pistis, believing, Abraham, when he was what? Called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith or believing, he sojourned in the land of what? Promise. As in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of what? The same promise. Why? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked by believing. He looked for the glory to come. That's right. Look at verse 13. These all died in believing, not having received the promises. They believed God to their last breath, but they didn't receive the promises. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those are our examples. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a true home. The word country would better fit as a true home. And truly, if they'd been mindful of the home from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better home, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God is not ashamed to be called their God, our God. He's God, our Father. And he's prepared for us a city. You read about it in Revelation 20, 21, 10 to 27. Look at chapter 12 while we're over here. Chapter 12, verse 22. This is what God had in mind. Verse 22. But you're coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written where? In heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen to that. We ought to walk worthy of the calling to which we were called. We only have one life to live and to give. There's one hope of our calling, and it should ever be before our eyes. It ought to be light. It ought to be light, like a fire in our hearts, to walk as the sons of God we are. That hope ought to light us up like a fire in our souls. It should ever be before our eyes. Christ is coming. It's Christ in you today, and that Christ in you, that spirit, comes with the hope of glory. We just have the down payment today. The payoff is coming. What did God have in mind when he called us? The ages to come. And it's going to take him all of them to show us the exceeding greatness of his kindness to us in Christ Jesus as our Heavenly Father. That's right. We will acquire the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming, and will be just like our brother forever and ever, because the Father freely gives us all things with Him. I'll say He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from the time of the ages. Father, I love You so much. I thank You for Your great grace and mercy. Thank You, Father, for having called us, for having sent Your Son, and for Him having accomplished the good pleasure of Your will. Not some of it, but all of it. And that by Your great grace, You've freely given us all things with Him. Oh, Father, we love You so much. And we're so thankful for the reality of our calling that You've given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We love You, Father. Bless Your people this week. Heal their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, walk with them and talk with them and lead them through the challenges that they're going to face this week. And thank You for the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, and God bless you. You have a wonderful week. I love you.